I'm on the phone with Vince Castro. Vince, thanks for joining me tonight.
Hey, well, you're welcome.
Vinny, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Bronx.
Whereabouts in the Bronx?
On Claremont Parkway and 172nd Street.
I know I'm going to jump ahead here just a little bit and have to jump back, but that is pretty darn close to where the Tonettes were at.
Well, they used to live at 544 Claremont Parkway, and I was right across the street at 543.
Well, that's pretty close.
That's very close.
What was it that got you interested in music?
Well, I was always interested in music. I was always writing songs and little ditties here and there. And then I heard that the girls across the street, they were the Claremonts then, they were singing. You could even hear them from the window as they rehearsed. Also, there were a lot of groups in those days who used to record and practice in hallways, as it was, you know. This was going around there in the Bronx. But the girls lived right across the street. So being that I had these songs that I had written, I took them up there so that they would hear them. And lo and behold, they liked them. And then I had this one particular one, which was Bong Bong, and they liked that one best of all. So they said, Vinny, let's do this. And I rehearsed it with them a few times. And they said, when their manager comes over, they wanted their manager to hear it. And actually, I wanted them to do the song, not for me to do the song. It was actually for them.
Hmm.
As it turned out, when the manager did show up, and he heard me singing it with the girls, he just stood up and he said, that's the way we're recording it.
And I guess it should be noted at this point that the girls, being the Claremonts, soon to be the Tonettes, were cousins of yours, correct?
Yes. My stepmother and the Sanchez father were sister and brother. So I don't know. I guess that would make me a cousin. I don't know because, you know, being that it was my stepmother through which I was related.
Well, if nothing else, at least related.
Yes. And he heard the song, and he said, that's the way we're doing it. And I said, with me? he said, yes, with you. And then he asked me my name, and I told him Vincent Castro. And he said, well, we'll cut it down to Vince Castro. And next thing I knew, I was down at a recording studio.
So what was that like? I mean, here you are, a guy that just loves music, loves to sing, and the next thing you know, you're in a recording studio.
Oh, my God, that was something else. That was something else. And then when we walked in there at the recording studios with the band, by the way, you know who was the background on Bong Bong was Sammy Lowe and his orchestra. I don't know whether you knew that.
I didn't know that.
We were all waiting outside the studio because the girls who were recording, other girls that were recording, when we got there, had stayed overtime. And we had to wait. And the girls that were recording happened to be the Ponytails. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah, the Ponytails. And
they were recording Born Too Late. Do you remember that record?
Sure.
So they were recording Born Too Late. And boy, did we get tired of hearing that record. And we're waiting. And they're re-recording and re-recording. So I guess I got to hear Born Too Late before anybody else did. Then we saw them finally come out. And they actually did have ponytails, you know. They really did.
Hmm.
Three beautiful girls. And then we went in and recorded Bong Bong. And I believe we did the other side right then and there. I'm not sure. I can't remember, but I think we did both sides.
So then that particular record was first released on Doe Records, which would have been a subsidiary of Apollo.
Yes. Mernstein, who became my manager when this happened, well, he was in charge of Apollo, really, at that time.
So Bong Bong goes out and actually did quite well.
Before I knew it, I got a call at home, and Vinny, you have to go to Boston immediately. I remember my father had to go out and buy clothes or something to wear, and when I got to Boston, it was unbelievable.
So you must have done a lot of local shows then, just off of Bong Bong.
Yes.
Did you ever do any Alan Freed shows?
Yes. I was on Alan Freed twice on his TV show in Manhattan. He had a TV show from there. And you know what I remember about Alan Freed? That he had the strongest grip. When he shook your hand, he really squeezed. You know, I shook a lot of hands in those days, but he had one of the strongest that always stood out in my mind.
Hmm.
But, yeah, he was a very nice man, Alan Freed. I also did the Palisades with Cousin Brucey, and he had that show out there, Bruce Morrow.
Right.
That was a nice experience, too. I met the Shirelles out there and Brian Hyland out there, very nice people.
So you did a lot of great shows off of Bong Bong, and pretty soon it was time to go back in the studio. What was next?
Too Proud to Cry was next.
So Too Proud to Cry, that one definitely had some East Coast airplay. How did you do with that one?
Not as good as Bong Bong. It didn't do as good as Bong Bong because while Too Proud to Cry came out, the payola business started coming in. And there was problems with that, which is another complete story, you know? So it didn't do as well as Bomb Bomb. Bomb Bomb did the best. Bomb Bomb, I remember one time I was coming out of the theater with my sister and my brother-in-law, and we picked up a copy of Cashbox magazine, and it was number 7 in Boston.
Well, it definitely sold some records.
Yes, it did.
So after the release called Too Proud to Cry, one of the things that I've always wondered about was the theory behind releasing Bongo Twist, which is the same song as Bong Bong, backed with You're My Girl, which was the same original flip side. Do you know why that happened?
No. They did that without my knowledge. You know, the next thing I knew, it was out as Bongo Twist. I remember hearing it on the air, and the disc jockey who played it thought it was another record by Vince Castro. So he played it. And after the record was over, I heard him say on the air, he says, "That's Bong Bong. Who are they trying to kid?"
Wow.
I think that was a mistake to do that.
Probably not the thing you'd want to say on the air.
That's what he said. He said, "Who are they trying to kid?"
I kind of surmised that maybe they were trying to go after the market of the Twist records that
started
exactly coming out.
That's what it was. They were trying to, but they didn't consult me. You know, they didn't ask me. I heard it on the radio like everybody else.
What about the record you did for the Orchid Record Company called I Feel So Grand and You Never Believe Me? Tell me about that.
Oh, that was a nice experience, too. But my manager there, Tom Pungitori, after Charles Mernstein, he and his brother owned a club, a Starlight Club in the Bronx. And I was working there for about a year. I worked there. He became my manager, and he also had the Orchid Record Label Company. That's when he decided to put me on the record, and I did a few records for him, including one that wasn't even released.
Do you remember the names of that song?
The name I remember was When Will I Know.
Hard to tell where that one is now.
Hard to tell whatever happened to it.
That's the only issue for Orchid that you did then, right?
Yes, that was it.
So what happened then after the Grand release? Did you continue with your music, or did you go a different direction?
I continued, but not records. I was doing shows and clubs. And I was still singing, but not recording. And I did that for quite a while, until finally I just got myself into the printing business, and that was the end of the singing. You know, the pay wasn't, in those days, wasn't that good.
Yeah.
You had to do something to make a living. Eventually, I stuck to the printing, and the singing just faded away, until now.
So tell me about now.
I just did this DVD because someone asked me, Vinny, do you still sing? And I said to myself, well, no. But then I said to myself, well, I don't really know if I do or I don't because I haven't done it. So I put together this DVD, and that's the one that I'll send you. I could tell you about a terrifying experience that I had when I first started. I was doing a record hop. They had record hops. That's what they called them in those days. And I was doing one of my first record hops in Boston, and as I'm waiting on the side of the stage to go on, the artist before me was a guy by the name of Bobby Day, and he had out this record called Rockin' Robin. I don't know whether you remember that or not.
Yep.
And so he came on, and he started with his Rockin' Robin, and as I watched him perform, terror, I'm telling you, terror just went right through me, because this guy was up in the air doing splits. He had a routine that was, I'm telling you, it was something like Jackie Wilson, if you remember Jackie Wilson.
Yeah.
And here, I was going on, I'm supposed to go on right after him. So at that moment that I'm watching him, and as he's coming to the end of his song, and he does the final split on the stage, and the audience goes wild, my stomach, it was terrifying, I'm telling you, it was terrifying because I was next.
So how do you follow that, huh?
How do I follow him? You know, of all the luck.
So what happened?
It was all right. After I walked out, they gave me a little nudge to push me out because I was dumbfounded. But after I walked out, and when I saw the reaction of the fans, and especially the girls, as I walked out, then everything went away. All the terror went away. But for a moment there, I was going to run.
Oh, boy.
I was really going to run. I'm glad I didn't, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The reaction of the fans was tremendous, and that took all my fear away. But it was an experience I'll never forget.
Was there anything else that you might like to tell my listening audience, or any stories that I may have glossed over here that you'd like to talk about?
I remember the Shepherd Sisters. I always have a nice memory of them. Do you know who they were?
The Shepherd Sisters, Alone. Why Must I Be Alone?
Yes. Well, one time I was doing a show. I got there late. They were about to go on, but they stopped what they were doing because at that time, before you went on stage, they had to put this pancake makeup on you.
Mm-hmm.
And my car got there late, so the girls just took me to the side and sat me down on this chair and started putting this pancake makeup on me. And between the smell of the pancake makeup and the smell of these beautiful blondes, because I don't know if you remember them, they were all blonde.
Right.
I thought I was in heaven for a moment. That was a wonderful experience. They were beautiful, those girls.
Who were some of the other performers that stand out that you performed with?
Oh, Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Oh, wow.
They stand out because when I went on, they asked my age. I said, well, 18. So she came on right behind me, and she says, I'm 18 too, she said to the audience, and broke everybody up. You know, that was very funny. That's why I remember it.
What's the farthest link that you went to perform? In other words, where was the farthest location away from home that you went to perform?
I know I went to Chicago. You see, my manager used to call me at home and tell me, pack up.
That was it?
Already paid. Everything is paid for. You just go and do what you have to do and back again. I went to a lot of places. I remember going to Philadelphia, of course, for American Bandstand.
Ah, so you were on American Bandstand then?
Yes, I was on American Bandstand in August of 1958, I believe it was. You know, I used to have I cut out the page from the TV guide announcing American Bandstand, and then the guest is Vince Castro. That was in there, and so many things that I have lost through the years. But I never got to meet Dick Clark. Because being that it was in August, he was on vacation. So he had a guest host. I believe his name was Tony Mammarello or something in that order.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yes. So he's the one that I met there. Of course, I met all the regulars who I used to see on TV, the dancers. That was an experience, a good one. They were all really good experiences. You know, it's funny how the years go by, and while you're going through them, you think nothing of them. It's after they're over that you think back and you say to yourself, gee, can't believe I did all this, you know?
Right, right. Well, Vinny, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening and talking about your great records that you made back in the late 50s and early 60s and all your experiences.
Thank you for remembering me. You know, I thought I was forgotten.
Absolutely not.